Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Who are the homeless, the people you see living in the streets? Do they fit the stereotype we carry in our heads? And how important to them is the Astoria Warming Center? At the Warming Center, we found several willing to talk to us and express their gratitude for a place to stay on a cold night.
Your whole day consists of managing where you're going to eat, keeping your clothes dry. You know, you have to, without having a car and nowhere to cook, I mean, you have to move yourself from, you know, point A to point B to, you know, and stay dry while you're going to your meals, and even doing laundry. I mean, trying to do your laundry when, and then it rains on your wet laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all your clean laundry is just soaked. What do? It's ruined. Then you go back to your tent with wet laundry, and I mean, it's a miserable situation. And like I was saying before, also in the last couple of years, many people that we all know personally have died of exposure because they couldn't get into a different type of mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, like people with alcohol problems, there's no way that most missions will let them come. You know, and have a place to sleep. So there's a real, there's a lot of tolerance that goes down here. You know, the staff is very tolerant, but it comes from the heart of wanting to actually help.
I think the staff here, the basic rule is that they just want everyone to be respectful while they're here. Is that kind of what it is?
Be respectful. You know, which is kind of hard with the diversity of people and everything like that, but that's really all they expect.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they expect.
Well, you know, in any group like this, like we said, there are young, there are old, there are people who may have problems of different kinds, there are other people who are just kind of temporarily need a place to be. There's got to be a dynamic here where sometimes things go well and sometimes people don't get along.
People don't get along sometimes. And you know, that's always an issue in a place like this. And the staff seem to manage it well. I mean, we've had, you talked about like the diversity. We've had a disabled veteran in a wheelchair who has stayed here and gone on to find a place. I'm not sure why he got why he became homeless or what his situation was, but he's a disabled veteran in a wheelchair with a service dog, and he was able to come here and save up his disability check and find a place so he wasn't rolling around in his wheelchair sleeping in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, I've seen people here looking out for each other too. I know people come in and someone has picked up someone else's bag and brought their backpack and brought it because they couldn't for some reason. And you know, people take care of each other and each other's things, I think, to a degree. At least some people do.
Well, it's like an unwritten code. Like if you're homeless and you see that your friend has forgotten his bag, that's like everything he owns there.
Right.
So people watch out for each other in that respect. You know, because I mean, there's a lot of thievery that goes on. I'm not saying in here, but, you know, you have to watch out for each other. That's just the way it is. And, you know, if somebody has extra, well, then they give to the one that has none. So there is that type of camaraderie, you know. There is a lot of sharing, and people just aren't greedy, you know. The homeless crowd really isn't a greedy crowd. You know, if one man has two tents and the other man has none, well, then the one man with two gives the other man a tent, you know, because it's an empathy factor that everybody shares, you know. And I kind of think that's what the staff must be super empowered with, empathy. Because, I mean, to me, I don't want to use the term special needs crowd, but it really is because of the diversity of problems. How could you set a standard on dealing with such a diversity of ages, problems, addictions, situations? I mean, there's families that stay here. There's single men. There's couples, you know, single women. I mean, even homeless dogs and cats.
Yep.
You know, I mean, where do you see that? You know,
what do you think could change? Not so much in this place, but in our society as a whole, that would actually help people more when they're in this kind of situation. What could we be doing different? You have some thoughts?
Honestly, some form of a day center where the locals around here complain that the homeless are, you know, hanging out in the doorways, or, you know, they're hanging out here or hanging out there. Where do you hang out when you have no place to go?
Right.
A day center with like a laundry facility, and also like a social representative that could help you with your food stamps, medical, mental health, you know, an advocate. We need a day center with an advocate, with a laundry facility and a shower facility that is open during the daytime. You know, so people can get access to resources, and so that they could also have a place to go instead of just milling around town aimlessly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's miserable being out in the cold and rain. You know how the weather is here. I mean, that sparks a lot of the reason why people drink. You
right.
know, down on your luck, you're freezing cold. You get a case of the you just say heck with it.
Something to dull the pain, really.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course that leads to the alcoholism and all the other problems, but...
Well, get back to you for a sec. When you look ahead, are you going to be able to get your physical stuff taken care of so that you can...
Actually, yes. Being able to stay here for the winter and not worry about having to... Not. Let me explain it this way. Being in survival mode all the time does not allow you the time to go look for a job. I mean, how are you going to look for a job in wet clothes, you know, in a pouring rain? How are you going to get there and have a decent interview if you don't have clean clothes and your hygiene looks poorly and you're unshaven? I mean, your chances are slim. This place has actually allowed me to be able to have a break from survival mode long enough to where I've been able to schedule operations. Now I've been accepted for some housing, and also it's given me the time to research other help. I'm going to be receiving some grants and going to school to be a chemical dependency counselor, actually.
Wow.
So being here, actually, if it wasn't for this place, that wouldn't happen, because I would be spending my whole day trying to just get by. That's, you know, and life would pass me by as I'm trying to survive everything.
Well, I got to tell you, you don't fit the stereotype at all of what a homeless person is, and I think probably a lot of the people in this room don't fit the stereotype. You know, people have some idea in their mind of who a homeless person is.
You can't stereotype it like that. You know, and...
Everybody's different.
Everybody's different. You know, like me, myself, I've been the alcoholic, you know, and... Which, you know, I see where that leads.
Yeah.
So... And the thing is this place has also given me experiential knowledge for my chosen field, working with people with adverse problems, addictions.
You've been there, you've come back, and you know what people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But the stereotype is what the community needs to get over, actually, because not every homeless person is the same.
Right.
It could be the guy standing in the grocery line, you know, with good hygiene and doesn't spend his money on alcohol and has clean clothes, but he's just as homeless as the next guy.
He's lost his job and... Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Or it could be the guy under the bridge. Or it might be the family that you see in their truck at Safeway all the time. And, you know, you wouldn't even know that they were homeless.
Yeah.
But they are. So, I mean, so to stereotype... You know, I think is wrong. I'm not sure what the solution is, but I think there needs to be some kind of some kind of assessment, some kind of community help, some kind of, like I said, a day center where there's a conglomeration of resources on a daily basis where you, if you need treatment or you need the food stamps, medical care. There's veterans that have come in here that don't even realize they can collect VA benefits that are homeless.
Right.
Until somebody tells them. There needs to be, I mean, if the community is going to complain about the homeless and they don't want the homeless, you know, to be here, or they don't want the homeless to be there, well, then the community needs to come up with, well, where do you want the homeless to be?
Right.
Basically.
Right.
You know, because they're not going to go away.
I had 20 plus years using methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
Was clean for, am clean. I take that, you know, for 7.5 years. Found myself in the midst of an eviction, and then wound up finding out how hard it was to find a place.
Mm-hmm.
And how much money it was taking to get into a place.
Right now, here, it's very hard.
Yes. So if it wasn't for this place, I don't know where we would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sleeping in our truck, probably. But I have a daughter. She's here.
Mm-hmm.
She's 17. She graduated high school early. She's pregnant. She's working. And, you know, she's homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot to have stacked on your shoulders at 17.
That's an awful lot.
And she's, you know, the whole experience has brought her and I together more. And if it wasn't for this place and these, you know, these volunteers and Cheryl and Caitlin, I don't know where we'd be.
You know, I think what people don't realize, quite a few of the people that I've talked with here are working.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But that third thing, getting a place to live,
mm-hmm.
is so expensive and so hard here now.
I was in my last place for almost 7 years. You know, the place before that, I was there 7.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, I'm not used to moving around, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't like it. This is my first time ever being homeless. You know, even back in the day when I was using every day, you know,
mm-hmm.
$100, hundreds of dollars a day, you know, I was never homeless, you know, and I had a good job that I quit for another job and wound up to be a terrible life choice I made, and so I'm unemployed right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if it wasn't for this place, I don't know where we'd be.
And this has been a cold winter here.
It's been a very cold winter here, yes, very, yes. I see cold, you know, chill, bone chilling.
Yeah.
So, you know, and a lot of my co-residents can be a little hard to handle at times.
Mm-hmm.
And these ladies have a big heart. They take it with a spoonful of sugar, and every day's a new day. They give everybody a chance. They're fair, you know. And they're good people. I don't know where any of us would be without
mm-hmm.
this place.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, there are people here from all different
all walks
places.
And, yes, exactly.
Different ages, different places in life.
Yes.
Difference in terms of whether they're using or whether they're drinking or all that kind of thing.
That's not my, yeah.
But things work pretty well.
They do, because it's like real rowdy at first, and then it all calms down. Yep, at night we say, good night, John Boy, good night, Mary Ellen. You know, it, you know. I've made some cool friends, I want to say.
Yeah.
You know. We're very grateful for this place. Everybody here is grateful. You know, the food's great. The atmosphere is great. You know, coffee and oatmeal every morning, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we put an application in on an apartment today in Warrington. So, waiting to hear back on that. But, you know, my money will come in just as this place is closing. So, you know. I'm okay. I worry about some of these other people
mm-hmm.
that have no place to go.
Right, what happens next month?
What happens to them?
Yeah.
You know, I can't take them home with me. I would if I could buy a mansion. I'd bring them all home with me, you
yeah.
know.
Well, my name's Morgan. I came here trying to get off of and away from the drug use and stuff like that. Where I'm from in Seaside, I wasn't able to manage my life at that point
mm-hmm.
without, you know, having friends and family come through that were always, you know, using drugs, so I opted to come up here, and I had a buddy that knew where a site was, like a pitch a tent, and so me and my girlfriend, we came up here, we started going to AA meetings, and then our second day up here, the shelter opened, and so we started coming to the shelter, and I ended up volunteering through DHS at the shelter in the mornings to fill some time for, because I have children for TAMP.
Mm-hmm.
So between this and then the senior center in the mornings, my day was, you know, up till 1 o'clock was full of volunteering time, which was kind of nice. It gave me something to focus on. Later on, it helped me out when I went to apply for a job at Hampton Inn, which I now am employed at. I had a letter recommendation from doing laundry and all the volunteer stuff here. I took that to Hampton Inn, and they were kind of iffy about hiring me because I was homeless.
Sure.
And so they read that, and then they called and talked with the main lady that runs it, Cheryl, and they were quite impressed with what she had to say about me. And so through them and this place, I'm able to keep my job because I can... If I work night audit, usually I go to work at 11 o'clock at night, I get off at 7. I don't like my girlfriend being alone in a tent in those hours, right. You know, so it's a nice place for her to come and be safe, and then for me to get a shower, get my work clothes clean, and keep up on that stuff while I try and save up for a place, because most places here, they want 3 times the rent.
Sure.
I don't make $3,000 a month.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't. So it's
kind tough of here right now to find affordable housing.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's become aware of that.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest problems in the county is the affordable housing.
Well, you mentioned, you know, kind of leaving Seaside and leaving those problems behind you and coming here, and you made it sound pretty easy, but I imagine that wasn't that easy.
No, there's been a lot of... I've tripped a lot. I fell. I've relapsed probably 10 times. My longest run clean right now, which is right now I'm on, is since January 1st, so I've got 1 month clean.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that through the Alano Club here, I've talked with Allison. She's been a big help with us. My girlfriend was into it bad enough to where she actually really needed to go to inpatient rehab. And there was a volunteer in the kitchen when we first started here, and she brought information with Free by the Sea, and she said, you know, if you call, I can push through a scholarship for you. And so we ended up calling and getting her scholarship pushed through. And so she went and got residential treatment paid for by Free by the Sea for her addiction,
mm-hmm.
Which was a big, big help with us. So not only does this shelter bring, you know, it's a good pool of resources with the people that come here, you know, and work here. Allison is also a very big homeless advocate. Like, if you need help with housing and stuff like that, you can go to her and say, hey, you know, what can I do? Like, tonight during the announcement, she let everybody know that, hey, you can go over to Long Beach, and they're doing housing assistance and stuff right. like that. You know, we wouldn't otherwise know about that stuff because we don't hear things from other counties.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good to have the staff here that are mindful and pay attention to stuff like that.
Where do you hope that you and your girlfriend will be, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now? What's your kind of thought for the future?
Right now, I'm trying to actually get myself set up to where she's going to start working here soon. She's just got accepted for a job at Freedom in Seaside.
Mm-hmm.
So during the day she'll work, and then during the night I'll work. We have 4 children all together. Her children, she has to earn her parental rights back from her previous relationship. My children, they live with their grandparents right now because of I knew that I had a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to hold on to those kids, let alone be homeless up here in the freezing temperatures that we were facing this winter, because it was a very brutal winter.
It's been a tough winter this year.
So I knew that I needed help, but Seaside was not the place for me. So they stayed in Seaside and continued to go to school and function their normal lives while I get myself back together. I'm almost to the point now. I just filed my taxes. I'll get them back at the end of February because of the earned income credit thing. They're mm-hmm. investigating everybody. So
yeah.
I have to wait till the end of February. And then by then, hopefully, me and my girlfriend have enough income to go to Forest Rim, which I really like because I built those 4-plexes and insulated those 4-plexes with AMJ insulation. I know how they're built.
So you've been working in construction, yeah.
And so I would not mind living there because of how they're put together. All the insulation, extra insulation we stuffed in those buildings just because Mark Corpy wanted, you know, to have really good heat and heat to cool exchange. He didn't want to have any of that. So, and then they're soundproofed pretty well.
I'm just recently homeless, and I turned 19 soon, just left my mom, so, but coming down here was, like, such a change for me. It was a fun change. Like, yeah, I didn't have nowhere else to go, but, like, that's the cool part, because you find yourself, and you find other cool people who are going through the same problems, who have better advice, or who've been down that road and can help you, and it's pretty cool what all these people who've been through, like, what they've been through. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Well, I know there's people kind of looking out for each other.
They do. I think that homeless people are, like, more more nicer than people that have housing, to me. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really different.
Well, how long have you been without a home?
I was off and on, but recently I just came back down in the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. So it's February now. I've been down here for a month.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks though, because like I try to get a loan so I can get out of the streets, but they wouldn't like accept me because I am homeless.
Right.
And I have a stable house, but like that's why I need that loan. Yeah. Like I have a job and I make good money and I love my job. Like I got a car, I feel so set, and all I need is a place to live. And like,
so you're breaking up one stereotype right there. You have a job.
I do.
You have a car.
Uh huh.
But you probably need the first and last months and stuff to get into a place.
Yeah.
And so that hurdle you haven't gotten over yet.
Yeah. And it's because of the fact that I'm homeless.
Right.
Is why they won't, like, help me out. But, like, I have a good enough job that I know I will work hard to pay that loan off. Because I'm a hard worker. I mean, been since day one. You know, you got to work to get out of where you are.
Right.
So.
Well, what are you looking for in the future? What do you see? You're young. You're 19 years old. What's your dream for what your life's going to be like?
Man, I want to do a lot with my life. I do. I want to travel. I want to backpack Europe. Like, I want to go do all this stuff, but it's all money. And I feel like I have to settle down and save up this money before I can leave. And that's, I feel like it's going to be so long. You know, I'm in school, too, on the LIT, Lives in Transition. And one of my teachers, she backpacked to Europe. She wished she would have done it sooner. Like, she told me that I should go, that there's cool programs out there. And I'm like, yeah. I can't wait to leave. Like, there's so much I want to do, and I can't wait to do it. I can't.
So in the meantime, this place is kind of, it's good this is here.
Yeah, this is like, I came from Washington. This is a story. This is the place I felt safe at, because I was here before, and it's the only place that felt like home for me, even though I didn't have a home.
If there's one thing that I would like to say to the community, if I did have a chance to say something to the community, is that the people that founded this place and the people that are working with all this diversity they work so hard to enable this, that I would tell the community to just work with them instead of work against them. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of complaints because of the unruliness of the homelessness, of the homeless folks themselves, but really, these people are trying to initiate a change, and they're trying to give opportunity to people that don't have any opportunity. You know, they deserve a chance. You know, so if I was going to say anything to the community, it would be to give the board members some credit for what they're doing. You know. And just don't go against the grain. Work with them instead of against them if you want to solve the problem.
The Warming Center, we have a month left, so if people want to get their feet wet and see if they're interested in maybe doing this in the future, is a good time to jump in and pick up some shifts. If they're interested, they can email astoriawarmingcenter@gmail.com
mm-hmm.
to come in. And any time at 7 o'clock, any day at or after 7 p.m., people can come in for an orientation to get a breakdown on operations and what to expect here. And we still have a need for volunteers. We can always use extra volunteers.
Well, what are the kinds of things volunteers do? I think people may wonder what's expected of them.
Sure. Well, there's different types of shifts. There's the opening shift, which is very busy, kind of shuffling around, getting blankets for people, finding a bed space for each person, doing intakes, sitting down and doing brief interviews with guests, serving food in the kitchen. And then there are really quiet shifts where you just come in and be a presence, make sure the place is safe, be there in case anybody needs anything. And those shifts are, for instance, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., which is the closing shift, which once again gets a little busy. But from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., it's very quiet. You're just sitting here supervising the space. You can come in, you can do homework, read a book, you know, maybe have a conversation with your co-volunteer. And then there is a, you know, like I said, there's a wake-up shift from 5 to 8, and that's kind of getting people awake, making coffee, that sort of thing. And then there's a cleaning shift from 8 a.m. to 9.
What about financial support?
Yes, financial support. Housing 30 to 35 people every night for 4 months is expensive. We go through a lot of money and supplies. Our guests have various needs that we try to meet. We try to provide healthy, nourishing breakfast food. We get some food donated, but, you know, we have a wide range of needs. So.
Now, do you know where the warming center will be next year? Will he be here, or do you know at this point?
You know, we are looking at having an alternate location for our operations. So it's likely that we will be here for part of the season next year, and then we'll also be at another location. We'll probably be splitting the season between two separate locations.
Well, it's great that the Methodist Church provided this space this year. It's been a good space, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're very grateful to that. We've, you know, put a lot of energy into this space, and so has the church. We have, you know, last year we had somebody donate labor to put in a shower for us so that we could offer showers to people. Mm-hmm. We've had washers and dryers donated, and we have a nice setup here, and we're very grateful to the community. There are restrictions on how long a temporary shelter can be in one specific location due to zoning and code issues, so that's why next year we're going to need to look at splitting it up between two different locations.
Mm-hmm. Now, so the food is donated, too, from the...
Yes, we have soup donated 6 nights a week. The North Coast Food Web brings us soup 3 nights a week, and the Astoria Coffee House and Bistro has provided soup for us 3 nights a week throughout our season. Both organizations have been amazing, and we're thankful to them.
Well, the one thing that every guest that I've talked to has pointed, made pains to point out, is how great you guys are. Yeah, they really appreciate the volunteers and the staff here.
Well, that's good to hear. We like to hear that. And
the last voice you heard was that of Allison Koffenbarger, the president of the Astoria Warming Center Board. You've been listening to The Human Beat on Coast Community Radio. I'm Roger Rocca. We'll be back next month at the same time.